Might want to leave your books open to Philippians, the fourth chapter. That's our home passage today. We'll be going back to that many times. Paul said in 1 Timothy, the sixth chapter, the sixth verse, godliness with contentment is great gain. And then in verse 8 of that same chapter, he says, having food and clothing, be content. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5 said, be content with what you have, for God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible basically commands us to be content. Contentment is to be satisfied. And yet we look around us and there are so many people and Christians who are dissatisfied. It seems that it's almost human nature to be unsatisfied with the things way things are going. It started with Eve. Remember? Genesis, the third chapter, says, and the woman said unto the serpent, oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you'll not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. Being less than content began at the beginning of time. And it has progressed and rapidly grown unto today. You remember Eve's sons? Cain killed Abel just because he was unhappy, unsatisfied. We find the people building the Tower of Babel, trying to achieve new heights. We see the children of Israel wanting a king so they could be like their neighbors. People have always been unhappy and dissatisfied. Well, in this fourth chapter of Philippians, the apostle writes this from a prison cell. At the time he's writing this, he's chained to a soldier in that prison cell. His preaching of the gospel has landed him in prison in Rome. It's in this environment that Paul says in the 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. How do you learn to be content? Here Paul is in this terrible imprisonment. His surroundings certainly can't make him happy. But he says, I've learned to be content. Now that's the kind of man we should probably learn from. If he can learn to be content, chained to a Roman soldier in a prison, maybe we should listen to what he has to say in this fourth chapter. What Paul is saying is, I'm in prison, I have nothing, and I need nothing. I'm content with nothing. Now the question is, how do we learn to be content with what we have? There's five principles in this fourth chapter of Philippians that tell us how to be content. The number one principle is that we have to trust in God's providence. Providence is a term that describes the fact that everything's going to turn out the way God wills it. You see, providence in many Old Testament examples says God hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that the plagues he went through would actually end up with the result that God wanted. Genesis 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt, But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people in the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. God says, I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh so that Egypt will know who I am, that I am the Lord. That was his will. And that's exactly what happened. Providence brought about the millions of possibilities that happen in the world every day. God coordinates all of those millions of possibilities to end up in a certain way that he wants it to end up. Millions of people doing millions of things, making millions of decisions, and yet coming out the way God wants it. Contentment relies on the fact that we believe that God is in control. It's beyond my comprehension how that works, but I do take the scriptures literally when it says in Romans 8, chapter, the 28th verse, that everything works out for good to those who love him. In this passage, Philippians 4:10, it says, Paul says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful but lacked opportunity. Paul says, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm not rejoicing that you sent me a gift. I appreciate the gift, but that's not why I'm rejoicing, because I had no need for nothing. But I'm rejoicing in that your gift is to the glory of the Lord. That's why I'm rejoicing. Then look down at verses 15 and 16, and it says, Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, which is where Philippi is, the city of Philippi, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So it's been 10 years since he established the church in Philippi. And for 10 years, the first part of his missionary work, they supplied his needs more than once, it says. But in the 10th verse that we just read, it says, lately, that hasn't happened. So when he started out, they were supportive. In the last few years, not so good. But he says in that 10th verse, I'm glad that your support of me has flourished again. Now that I'm in prison, I know that you lacked opportunity, or maybe you lacked the means to help me before this, but now when I am in prison, you've sent me this gift, and I appreciate it because of what it demonstrates in your hearts about how you love the Lord. Paul knew what the writer of Hebrews said was true. You don't have to have anything to be content. Proverbs 16:9 says, The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 19:21 says, Many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord's counsel stands. Paul knew that he didn't have to be concerned or anxious about anything in this life, because in Philippians, the second chapter, 31st verse, he says, It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's in control. It's his will that your life turn out a certain way. Now, that doesn't mean that God's strong-arming you. You're going to make those choices. You're going to make those decisions in your life. But his will is that you conform to the image of his Son. And by doing that, your life is going to turn out the way he would want it to turn out. He knew, Paul knew, that his life was in God's hand. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the providence of God in the life of Joseph. When his brother sold him into slavery, he knew that God had a plan. And certainly he became the prime minister of Egypt and preserved the nation of Israel from starving to death. Paul knew the story of Esther. She was planted in a pagan king's kingdom, palace, to stop a conspiracy to destroy all of the Jews. They would not have existed without the providence of God. Paul knew the story of Ruth and how God providentially worked through that incredible story to bring about the line of David and ultimately the Messiah. God was working with millions of possibilities, with millions of people, with millions of their choices to bring about how he wanted this to turn out. Paul knew all of this, and he understood the scriptures, and he understood from his own personal experience and the history of the Jewish people. So the first principle to be content for us is to trust in God. To trust he will providentially make things happen the way he wants. The second principle that we have to learn to be content is to be satisfied with little. That's a hard concept to believe for people who live in a country where bumper stickers say, "He who dies with the most toys wins." The idea of being content with little doesn't appeal to very many people. But verse 11 in Philippians 4 says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Not that I want anything, not that I need anything, but I'm content with very little, being here in prison." Paul is rejoicing in the Lord that they have met his needs. He appreciated their gift, but not because he requested it. Not that he had any needs. Can you imagine anybody today saying that? "No, I don't need anything." The banks can't say that. General Motors can't say that. And not very many Christians would say that. "I don't need anything." We all have things that we think we need or want. Paul says, I have learned to be content with little. Now, he's not denying that he is in a bad situation being in a prison chained to a Roman soldier. It's not like he's in denial. That's not what he's saying. But he's not playing the role of the victim either. He's not saying it's not right. It's not fair. That's not his attitude. He knows the Lord hasn't forsaken him, that whatever the end result of his life will be, it's in God's hands. So we could say that a Christian's life must be a life liberated from need, a life liberating from wanting and satisfying ourselves, a life satisfied with little. So principle one is to accept the providence of God. Principle two is to be satisfied with little. Principle three is to understand that circumstances don't affect contentment. Your contentment cannot be based on your environment. Look at verse 12. Paul says, "I know both how to be abased and how to abound." Paul says, "I know how to live the good life, and I know how to live with nothing. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed," or a better translation would be, "in all things I know the secret, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Everywhere in all things is the key to that passage. It doesn't matter whether I have a lot or whether I have little, I'm content. Now, what I've found in life is that if you have a lot, it's harder to be content. If the more you have, the harder it is to be content, because the more you want. Rockefeller, who happened to be the richest man in the world at the time he was asked this, was asked, how much more money do you want to make? And he said, just a little more. He wasn't content. The United States is such a blessed nation, and yet we are full of people who are discontent. You go to India, where they have nothing, you'll find a lot of people who are content with nothing. Until they learn about us. Circumstances are irrelevant to how much or how little we have. We have to learn to be content by trusting God and knowing that He's in control. When you have learned to be satisfied with little, and when you have learned to be indifferent towards your environment, you have three out of the five steps to be content. The fourth principle is to be plugged into the power of God. This is a very important and very obvious one. Verse 13, in spite of what my circumstances are, remember he's a prisoner chained to a Roman soldier, worst kind of circumstances. But in verse 13 he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul is convinced that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. His confidence comes because he's attached to the power of God. He's plugged in to the power of God. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. That's why he prayed in Ephesians, the third chapter, 14 and 16 verses. He said, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man. We can all be plugged into the power of God if we have a Spirit-controlled life, if we walk in the Spirit, if we are filled with the Spirit, if we're into God's Word every day, we can have that same strength that Paul understood. Literally, Paul is saying, I can do whatever God calls me to do. I have the strength to do whatever He expects me to do because He's the one that's supplying my strength, my power. When you're connected to the power source, you can go through anything, any difficulty, even prosperity, and still be content. He is literally talking about having the ability to overcome the most difficult physical circumstances because the strength that God gives him. Now, we always want to have that strength, don't we? Remember 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where Paul had this thorn in the flesh that's tearing up his life, really bothers him. And he prays to have the Lord remove it. But the Lord says, you know what? I'm not going to remove it. But I am going to give you sufficient grace so that you can suffer with it, so that you can be content with that thorn in the flesh. No matter what the circumstances in our life, God will give us the strength to endure that. Besides, Paul, that thorn in the flesh that you're suffering, it's good for you. It's going to humble you. So whatever circumstances you're in today, you can have the strength of the Lord to help you endure through that. And it's probably a good thing, because it will make you humble, which means that you are dependent on the Lord and not on yourself. That's what humility is. Understanding that you are dependent upon the Lord's strength and not on your own. Paul said, I'll boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in you. The weaker you become, the more dependent you become on the power of God. Well, this morning, if you're struggling with discontent, it could be because you don't trust in the providence of God. You don't trust that God is orchestrating everything that happens. Or it could be because you're not satisfied with little, and for some reason think you deserve more. And you've talked yourself into some kind of a victim mentality. It could be that you're not living independently from your circumstances, but you're basing your happiness on your environment. And so when the stock market goes up, you're happy, and when it goes down, you're unhappy. When your marriage is going good, you're happy, and when it's not, you're unhappy. When your work is going good, it's great, and when it's not, you're unhappy. That's not contentment. Or it could be that you have allowed sin in your life, and as a result of that sin, there's a short in the connection between you and the power source. The fifth principle that Paul teaches us in Philippians 4 on how to be content is learning to serve others. Selfish people are never content. Never. This is such a basic element of people's contentment, to be serving others. In this fourth chapter, look at verses 14 through 17. It says, "Notwithstanding, you have done well by sending me this gift. You've done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and retrieving, but you only. But for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessities. But because I didn't desire a gift, what you have given me abounds to your credit, to your fruit, to your account." See, they hadn't supported him for so long, and now he's in prison and they are supporting him. That's to their credit. Now, when he's in dire circumstances and alone, nobody's visiting him, he can't get out, walk around, they probably are just giving him the bare necessities as far as food. Now you send me a gift. He says, I really appreciate it from the standpoint that that gives more credit to your account with God. I'm glad that this gift comes from you because I know what it means. I appreciate your gift, but it doesn't mean as much for my benefit as it does for your benefit. He's always concerned about the other person. This gift that you've given me, it's for your account. It adds to your account. It profits your account. So how did it profit their account? Well, very simply, they are laying up treasures in heaven by supporting Paul. Paul says, I don't have any needs. I'm connected to the power source. And so therefore, you know, I'm just going to rely on God to take care of me. But I'm glad that you had this love in your heart for the Lord that you would send this gift. It fulfills the principle of Luke 6:38, where it says, give and it shall be given unto you. God will bless you in life and in eternity if you serve others. This is the attitude of a contented man. And when we benefit others with our time and our gift and our monies, he said, that gift that you sent me, it has a sweet fragrance. It's a pleasing aroma. It's pleasing to God. That's why it's so acceptable. This is a principle of truth that he wrote in Philippians, the second chapter, the fourth verse. He says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others, serving others. That's the fifth principle for having contentment. So here's a man in prison who has absolute confidence that it is God's will that he be in the place he is in. He has learned to be satisfied with little. He lives independent of his circumstances, and he remains strong because he has the Spirit of the Lord within him. And he is utterly preoccupied with the well-being of others and expressing his gratitude to others that they are pleasing to the Lord. Contentment, what a wonderful blessing. Now, when I say Paul is content, you have to understand that he's not content in everything. He's not content, for instance, in his own spiritual growth. Romans, the 7th chapter, the 19th verse, says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." He's unhappy about his own personal growth. He was not content with his own personal character. Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am." He was not content with his pursuit of holiness. Philippians 3:14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He was not content in the way the world was treating Jesus. He was not content that people were going to hell because they were rejecting the gospel. So we can't say that we can just be content no matter what's happening. But if you'll use these five principles, you can grow, you can learn how to be content. If you, and I know there were some of you there, Pat and I were at the Dave Ramsey seminar yesterday. If you were there and you remember his last story, some men of the town went up to the mountain to talk to the old sage, and they carried with them a bird. And so as they approached the old sage, they said to him, "I have a bird behind me in my hands. Can you tell me, is the bird alive or is the bird dead?" And the sage thought for a minute and he said, "Well, if I tell them that the bird's alive, all they have to do is crush that bird and show me that it's dead. But if I say it's dead, all they have to do is let it fly away. I'll be wrong no matter what I say." So after thinking for a while, he said to the men, "The fate of that bird is as you will it. Your contentment is as you will it. It's all up to you. Learn these five principles, apply them to your life, and you'll be content. If you're not content with your relationship to the Lord today, we ask that you come forward and as we stand and sing this song.